Mechiras Chametz, which we're going to discuss. How many years old is the Mechiras Chametz? When did this concept first start? Now, in Shas, is there any concept of a Mechiras Chametz?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Besides one Mishnah.
Except on Daf.
Huh? Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'll show you what it says. But he's right. In Shas, there is no mention of a Mechiras Chametz. To be a bit more accurate, the concept of a Mechiras Chametz is approximately, I would say, 500 years old. Until 500 years ago, nobody did Mechiras Chametz. So the truth is, those that don't do it have a very strong basis for the minhag, because it practically did not exist, Mechiras Chametz. I'll show you. There's a Mishnah first thing. Chaf Aleph, in Psachim. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Kol Shoh, any time, She Muta Lechoil, Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah, Kol Shoh, at any time, She Muta Lechoil, that you're allowed to eat the Chametz, so Machel, you can give it to eat, L'Behemoth, to your animal, L'Chayev, L'Oifis, to your birds, Yimoichel L'Nochri, or you can sell it to a Goy. So you see that the Mishnah already deals with that until the time that Chametz becomes Asa, the fifth hour, you are allowed to sell Chametz to a Goy. But this has absolutely nothing to do with our Mechiras Chametz, because this Mechira was what we know is known to us as a Mechira L'Chaliten, which means a sale, which
simple
is a final sale.
Simple
it's
sale.
A simple sale. There's nothing more to it. This Mishnah is referring to a sale. You sell it to the Goy takes it, he never gives it back to you, it's his, it's done. So there's no proof from this Mishnah whatsoever. Okay. What's interesting is that the first time you find sort of a concept of a Mechiras Chametz is in the back of Masechtas Pesachim in the Tosefta, Perik Beis Halacha Vav. And the Tosefta tells us an interesting story of a person that gets stuck on a boat on Erev Pesach with all his Chametz with him. Now what do you do? Right? I guess they couldn't throw it overboard. You know, or maybe this Jew would not have what to eat after Pesach. Tosefta Perik Beis Halacha Vav. It's page 86, and it says as follows. Nochri Shabbal Beis, next piece, okay. Yisrael v'nochri, skip down a line. A Yid and a Goy, Shahayabon b'sfina, that were coming in a boat. You see that? Yisrael v'nochri, a Yid and a Goy, Shahayabon b'sfina, they were coming on a boat. V'chametz b'yad Yisrael, and this chametz in the hands of the Jew. So what does he do? Hareza moichroi l'nochri, he sells it to the Goy. He gives it to him b'matona with as a gift. Now take a look. V'choizav v'lekeach mimeno li'acha ha-pesach. The problem is that when it's going to come after Pesach, and the Jew is stuck on some boat without any kosher food, he has a serious issue. So the Tosefta tells us, page 86 in the Tosefta. 86. Perik Beis Halacha Vav. So what he tells us is that the Yid sells it to the Goy, and after Pesach he approaches the Goy and says, by the way, may I buy back my Chametz? So you do finally see in the Tosefta a concept of Mechiras Chametz, but there's five words added. Evil Vad, however, it must be Sheyitni Lo, you have to give it to him, B'matana Gemura. It needs to be a true gift, which means you can't
give it to him b'matana.
Or similarly, if you sell it to him, the sale must be a complete sale. We'll see soon the way the Bais Yosef reads this Tosefta. Choice. Either or.
Way, okay.
Right. And then after Pesach, v'chayzav alekech mimenoi la'acha Pesach, after Pesach you approach him and you buy it back from him. But there's a rule attached, ilvad sheyitnu loy b'matona gemura. When you give it to him, it's got to be, you have to really give it to him.
But
you can't give it to him on a condition.
On the case of Mochlor Lenochri, that's not what we're talking about. Not Matana, Kimura.
Because obviously a sale is a final sale.
Right, so this Mocher is not our Mocher, because right now when we say Mochlor Lenochri, it looks like it's a
final
sale. A sale like the Mishnah and Chavala.
Right, it's an absolute final sale.
Right.
Correct. Correct. Right. Absolute final sale, and you can't have it back after Pesach.
Exactly. And so now we're only talking about where it was Bimatna.
Right. But on the other hand, you did see clearly, he says, V'choze v'lekech mimene l'acha Pesach. He says there's two deals. You sell it, and then you buy it from him after Pesach.
Two separate deals,
right? And then he adds on, but it's got to be a real sale. Or he doesn't say a sale, he says a real gift, a real matana. What's that?
So if that's the case, any sale. That goes without saying.
If it's still around, so buy it back if you can.
Exactly. So what is this sale that the Tosefta is referring to that is the inappropriate sale? Okay, good question. Excellent. Now, before I start to explain the Tosefta, I want to tell you that there are two girsas in how to read the Tosefta. There's the girsa that we have now at Tosefta, and if you take out we read a Tosefta, Perik Beis Halacha Vav. And if you take a look at the Bahag, who also has an interpretation of the Tosefta, he has a different girsa. And this girsa should be very troubling to our Mechiras Chametz. Instead of writing those words, which we have over here, Iruvat Sheyutne Loi B'Matana Gemura, he has a different girsa. We might even have it down here. No, we don't have it now. The Bahag we don't have here. The Bahag's girsa is Iruvat Sheloi Ya'arim. As long as you don't fool anybody, as long as there's no harama, there's no tricks here. That's what the Bahag adds. Now we need to understand what is the definition that you can do a Mechiras Chametz, as long as you don't fool anybody, right? When is the harama? What is that trick that he's referring to? You'll take out a Ritva on Sechtes Psochim, Chof Aleph, and the Ritva says something that absolutely will kill any Mechiras Chametz deal that we make. Listen to what the Ritva says. The Ritva says, thank you. The Ritva says, you know what it means of Hovach Layarim? The Ritva says, Hovach Layarim means that you should only do it once in a while. It's a Shas HaTchag. There was an incident. There was a Jew who was on a boat. He had no choice. He needed his chametz after Pesach. So he went and he did this special situation where he sold it to the guy and he repurchased it after Pesach. But the Ritva tells us that if you do Mechiras Chametz every single year, so then the guy knows clearly that you're doing Mechiras Chametz, so that he should get a nice tip after Pesach when you buy back the Chametz. That sale is not a sale, it's null and void. That's what the Ritva writes on Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph, in Mesechtes Psochem. Okay? And he adds, the Ritva says, it's got to be a Shas HaTchag. He says, read this story. The Tosefta tells the story. A Jew got stuck on a boat before Pesach. But if he didn't get stuck on the boat, but rather this was the regular situation, you have no right to do Mechiras Chametz. That's what the Ritva says. Okay, now, the Beis Yosef in Simon Tov Mem Dalet quotes the Bahag. He doesn't quote the Ritva. The Ritva that says you can't do it every year, he doesn't quote. But he quotes the Bahag that it can't be a haroma, that Mechiras Chametz needs to be an appropriate sale. And the Beis Yosef says, I'm very sorry, he says to the Bahag, I want you to know there is no greater haroma than Mechiras Chametz. That is what Mechiras Chametz is all about. The Beis Yosef writes this in Tov Mem Ches, the Beis Yosef. He says, in Aruch Chaim Tov Mem Ches, he says, of course it's a haroma, and on the other hand, it's a legal haroma. And it works. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. So the Beis Yosef says, but whoa, one second, he says, so what did he mean to say, Evil Vachala Yarim? How do we explain the Bahag, Evil Vachala Yarim? So he says, Evil Vachala Yarim is not explained like the Ritva explains it, but rather that the sale itself needs to be a bona fide sale. Now, you mentioned, how can you have a sale that's not a bona fide sale? All over Shas, you have a very specific type of sale that works everywhere, besides my Kedushin. But it works everywhere. And what's that?
Halifin.
Matana. Amanas lahachsir. Right? Matana amanas lahachsir, right? Or a sale amanas lahachsir, right? You do anything amanas lahachsir. What's the story? Is that a Kenyan?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Like a Kenyan was an example?
Best example is the Gemara in Kedushin Chav Zayin. The Lulav, exactly. That's right. The Gemara tells us a story that Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Shua were coming together on a boat, and they had one Lulav, and they needed it to be Lachem, so they gave it to each other as a Matan Amanas Lahachse, right? Taisis Chav Zayin and Medeis in Kedushin. Very, very classic Gemara.
No, it's a Mishnah. They announced it in the Bet HaMikdash.
Right.
Everybody should say that.
Exactly. I'm showing you they even practiced it, right? The Gemara says they even practiced this practice. So according to that, the Beis Yosef says, oh, you want to know what is it referring to when it says Ivovat Shelo Yarim? Ivovat Shelo Yarim refers specifically to a Matan Omanas Lahachsir. So, but wait, but then the Beis Yosef says that will not work. That Mechiras Chometz through a Matan Omanas Lahachsir, that's not a Mechiras Chometz. Okay, or rather transferring chametz, it's not really a mechir, it's a matana. You know, don't catch me on the word, but you understand what he means to say. If you transfer the chametz through matana manas lahachzer, that is not considered a good sale. But then the Beis Yosef says, why not? You find all over that matana al manas lahachzir is considered a sale. Well, one second. If you sold your chametz to a Jew, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Even in general,
one second. Selling the chametz to a Jew, we'll talk about momentarily.
Well, does matanah mahazir works with a goy? That's
matanah mahazir works with a goy. That is a discussion in the Mishabur and in the Bi'alocha. The truth is, it's a very interesting discussion because the Bais Yosef at the end conclude that why is it that matanah manas lahachzir does not work? So he says because of chumr the chametz. That's what he writes at the end. But then he discusses if you did it already. So what's going to be the situation then? He brings down there's a rash, but there's a rush that discussed it. And the Mishnah Berurah is machriya in the Shaar HaTzion that if you actually sold the chametz through a matana manas lahachzir, it's not chametz sha'avol ha'pesach. Okay? So you should know that at the end of the day, it's not chametz sha'avol ha'pesach. But it's something that you should be careful and you shouldn't do it. Now, he raised an absolutely fascinating question. All right, I will tell you from the Mechiris chametz that I've done in the past years, the goy who we use, you know, based on his complexion and based on the locks of hairs that go about down till his waist and based on his name, is absolutely not a Yid. I'm telling you, the goy we use has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, and that's a guarantee. What happens if one year you do the Mechiris Chametz and accidentally you make a mistake and you end up selling it to a Yid? Right? What would you say is the halacha in such a case? You did a Mechiris Chametz and accidentally, what's that? Right? So the Taz writes in Tov Mem Dalet Siv Dalet that he had a story with a Yid who owned. Now, but I just want to make one thing very clear. Why did Mechiris Chametz really not exist till the time of the Trumas Hadeshen? Because, like you said, everybody had his Chametz and he got rid of his Chametz and that was it. In about 500 years ago, the Jews started to buy the concessions from the government to have the right to sell the whiskeys, they owned the pubs, and they had all these different concessions. So suddenly it became an issue. It was a Hefzad Merubah, there was a lot of money there. And that's the reason why they started, the Mechiris Chametz became much more prevalent after this happened. So the Taz writes the following story. There was a Jew that owned a Arenda. Arenda was the whiskey concession. And after he owned the whiskey concession, he did a Mechiris Chametz. And after Pesach, the fellow came to sell back the Chametz. And he says, you know, it was such a pleasure. I appreciate, you know, the business you gave me. As a matter of fact, my grandfather also used to do Mechiris Chametz, you should know. But for ourselves, you know, we didn't buy it. You know, we were on the other end of the, you know, it reminds me, somebody said to me that he needed to go to the hospital on Shabbos. He was having a baby. So he made arrangements with a certain car service. So he made the arrangement with the certain car service, and he was hoping that he wouldn't get a Jewish driver. It was a Russian car service. So he calls in on Shabbos and he says he just wants to make sure that, you know, that he gets a goyish driver. So the guy on the other end on Shabbos says to him, you don't fuck in the business to another Jew? I mean, what's with you? He says, I'm here. He says, you can't give me the business. You know, the Taz says he was more than happy that he sold the chametz to a Yid accidentally one year. That's the story that the Taz writes. And it's a very complex situation. The Taz adds to the story that he saw that the Nesoyin was too great. And the person would not listen to him. And if he would say it's also, the person would use the chametz anyways. That's what the Taz writes. The Taz at the end says that the Mechiris Chametz is a valid sale. And the reason he says it's a valid sale is as follows. He says, Chametz Sha'aval Vapesach Mid'oraisa is really mutter. It's only Mid'Rabbanon. The Rabbanon made a knas. So the Taz says, for a person that did a Mechiras Chametz, but he was duped, unfortunately he sold it to another Jew. So to say that in that case, which is such a natschichtig concept, that the Chachomim made the Knas in that case too, that's already a stretch. However, since the Taz himself realized he was stretching it, so he said only in this case, and he said that what you should do is you should exchange the money from the Mechiris Chametz, you should take the money, you should take the Chametz and do Chalipin, switch it with another Goy's Chametz. And since the Chalipin is not Teufis Kedusha on Domov, on the money, so he says either that or sell to Goy and you can use the money. The actual Chametz he wouldn't let him eat, but he let him exchange the Chametz. What's that?
Get Hana'ah from it.
Yes. He said you can have Hana'ah in that type of a situation, which is a fascinating task. The truth is, you know, there are so many tshuvas written on Mechiris Chametz. You know, Mechiris Chametz is such a new concept, but it was so complex throughout the generations because there were so many problems. There's a fascinating tshuva written in the Shari Tshuva, who he has a collection of loads of tshuvas on Mechiris Chametz. And he says the following story that happened by him. And the truth is, when you hear this story, you really start to question the Mechiras Chometz, which I said that the Beis Yosef ruled at the end of the day that if it's a bona fide sale, it's not a matana manas lahachse, the sale is good. I can hear why people are machmana to do it. It's very logical because it's basically, it's a new concept, and basically it's a very big kula, and I'll show soon a few other reasons why the Mechiras Chometz is a very big kula. But I just want to point out one more point, and that is that the kinyan has to be a kinyan lechalitin, a full sale, and has to be bona fide, which means that you have to give the goy the ability on Pesach to come into your house to take the chametz. And if the goy can't come on Pesach into your house to take the chametz, this sale is not a sale. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if you go and you sell your chametz to a goy before Pesach, and then you leave to Cancun, and he has no ability to reach you throughout the whole Pesach, so there's no way for him to come and take his chametz, the Mechiras Chometz, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is not a Mechiras Chometz.
So by us, we don't even know who it's sold to.
Oh, so I'll tell you what you do. I'll tell you the trick, how the Mishnah Berurah deals with this question. There's a way to deal with this question. The Mishnah Berurah writes that what should be done is, and I always write it into the Mechiras Chometz by me, I always write where the person will be available, key at, which means that if a person's going away, either I leave an address of a person that's local in the area that you can approach him and buy the chametz, and if the guy wants to come buy the chametz, he can approach him and say, can you let me into that house? That's number one. Or I make the person leave me his phone number where I can reach him on Pesach. What's no, that?
But if you're home,
they don't do it.
Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah's psak.
But if you're home, if you're home, then you wouldn't have to put that stipulation in.
Absolutely not, because then the key's at the above address. You can come any time. I write it because I always have a concern. What happens if somebody else is not there? But look, I want to tell you something. I've seen many rabbanim do not do it. Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm just telling you over psak of the Mishnah Berurah. And the reason why I'm saying it is simply that you should understand that however you do Mechiras Chometz, if you do it, it has to be understood Mechiras Chometz is not a joke. Mechiras Chometz is a real sale. I'll tell you the truth. There's one tshuva in which I was about to mention from the Shari tshuva, which this tshuva to me, I don't want to use the word is a bit troubling. I'll say rather I'm a bit confused about the tshuva. The Shari tshuva writes the following story. There was a yid that went, and he had he was in the whiskey business. He had a lot of whiskeys, and he went and he sold his whiskey to a goy on Pesach. Anyways, in the middle of Pesach, he walks to shul the first morning, and he sees the goy is in with his whiskey, and a few bottles are open, and the guy is sitting in a corner, and he's drinking, and they're having a great time in his pub. That's what he writes. Okay, the next day, he goes to shul in the morning, and there's not the guy sitting there anymore, but now he already invited his friends. And there are bottles open, and there are bottles broken, and they are drinking, and it's unreal. Now, the truth is, the Jew realizes that the reality is that when it's going to come after Pesach, does the guy only gives a down payment before Pesach. Does the guy truthfully have the money to buy out all of his whiskey? Absolutely not. But the guy, you know, he got a good situation here. So he went to the Shari Tshuva, and he asked the Shari Tshuva, what should I do? So the Shari Tshuva said, the next day when you go to shul in the morning, and you see that he's lying on the floor drunk, just in front of your pub, go into his pocket and slip out the key from his pocket, which you gave to him, and let him think he lost the key. That's what the Shari Tshuva writes. But then the Shari Tshuva says, but if you take away the keys, then it's not a bona fide sale. He says, no. That's only if you didn't give him a key before Pesach. But once the sale was executed, so then the sale is a final sale. The fact that he suddenly doesn't have a key doesn't reverse the sale. That was the advice he gave, which is a tremendous chiddush and a tremendous loophole in the Mechiras Chometz. I mean, if you think about it, because he basically was blocking the goy, but he says, no, he didn't block the goy. If the goy came to him to get in, he would say, you can get in. But if the goy came to him, he said, look, you have the key, find it. You know, that was the way he basically told him. It's a tremendous chiddush, I agree, absolutely. And then the Shari Tshuva says that he heard of another story, where there's another Rav in his area had the same situation. The other Rav's Eitzah was a little bit more mild. The other Rav went, and when the person came to complain to him, he didn't respond. He said, I understand you're having a problem. He didn't respond. And right after a few days later, a few hours later, he let the person leave. He sent somebody to call the guy, and he says, listen, I need you to do me a favor. I need this letter delivered a couple of hundred miles away. It'll take you 4 or 5 days to get there. Here, I'll pay you a couple of dollars. Deliver this letter for me. And the guy left, and that was it for the drinking throughout Pesach. So those are the two stories the Shari Tshuva brings. Okay, so you see a kula that you can possibly sell the not that the guy shouldn't have a key, but that's only once the sale is executed. But to say that before Pesach, the guy should not have the key, that's definitely not something which can be done. Now, another serious issue is that when you have large companies, and by the way, there are certain mechiras chametz done on companies which are huge, huge corporations, food corporations, you know, the Wakefern Corporation, which owns ShopRite and which owns many, many corporations, they do mechiras chametz. And if you review the original mechiras chametz that were done by these corporations in the earlier years, they were not really, I want to say they're not valid, but there were certain rabbanim put them together, and there were serious questions about these contracts of these of the mechiras chametz. And I'll tell you why. The attorneys that review these contracts on behalf of the corporations never let the offices of the corporations sign off on the mechiras chametz. Because the reality is that, as I explained, that mechiras chametz, if you do it, needs to be a bona fide sale. The problem is that if you do a bona fide sale on a corporation, can you imagine the guy buys it, and over Pesach, suddenly the stock goes up. You know, it doubles, it triples, you know, which should hopefully happen to every stock today, the way things are going. And then what happens right after Pesach? So the Yid comes to buy back the chametz, and he says, no, thank you very much. I bought your company, which is known to us as a hostile takeover, right? You have the mechiras chametz can subject the company that anybody can really buy out the company.
They're selling the company, or they're selling the chametz of the company?
And what do you do when a company is basically based totally of chametz, like a food company? That is the company in many situations. And you can't, and I'm going to ask you a better question. You have a company that deals in chametz. You have a company like Pathmark or ShopRite that sells chametz on Pesach. So how could you own that company? You need to sell that company to a goy and let the goy do the work for you on Pesach. You don't really have a choice in that situation. So what do you do then?
So you have to sell the stock of that company?
Now, the truth is you're raising a totally, totally different point, which I'll get to in a couple of seconds, how we view stocks when it comes to mechiras chametz, which we'll discuss in a second. But before we get to that point, I want to just backtrack and discuss specifically the point which I mentioned. And that point that I mentioned is that the mechiras chametz needs to be a bona fide sale. And technically speaking, the guy that buys it can buy out the company after Pesach. And you have a problem. You lost your company. So let's talk about a private company before we get to a public company with stocks. Technically speaking, that is the situation. So what do you do? So the attorneys always would put in certain clauses that based on those clauses, it's impossible for the goy actually to buy out the corporation. Now they really, you know, from Rabbanim who read them over the last 20, 30 years said that those sales are not considered valid sales. Now, I'll tell you the reality, what is actually being done. What is actually being done is that we sell the chametz, and we use a valid, bona fide contract that the sale is a sale. However, rather than selling the company to the vice president of the company, who's a guy, who the vice president of the company knows how to get financing to buy out the company, you sell it to one of the lower level workers who has no concept of where to get financing or how to run this type of a company. So the truth is the only way to really do the mechiras chametz on a large company is sell it to a person who doesn't have the ability to run this type of a company. But in reality, if the person is smart enough, yes, he could buy out the company after Pesach. And yeah, that's the risk you take.
Why does the company have to be sold altogether? Just sell them the chametz. Period. And if the guy wants to
it's impossible. If the company's going to continue to do business, how are you going to do that?
There's a lot of other things that are
wrong. You can't sell the chametz, right? But after you sell the chametz, your workers are going to continue to do business with chametz on Pesach. How does that work? That's not a reality.
But I'm keeping my tractor can on the chametz.
That's not bona fide. There's no way. It has to be an honest assessment and an honest sale. You can't do it. What's that?
I'm saying the reason they're selling the corporation is because they're doing transactions with the chametz.
Correct. Correct. You have no choice. If you're doing transactions, you have to sell it. Now, let's get to Simon's point now, which is also a very, very important point. Forget about the people that own the company. But if a person owns stock, right? You own stock in a food company. Do you need to sell your stock to the Rav to sell to the guy in the chametz, right? That's a very classic question. Now, anybody here is an expert in stock securities. Who can explain to me what a stock is? What is a stock? And then try to tell me in Shas what you can compare to a stock. And the answer is going to be
it's
nothing.
A lien.
What?
It's not a lien.
No, it's a right to the profits of the company.
It's a right to the profits
more than
the company.
More than the profits.
It depends. Truthfully speaking,
if you go bankrupt, you can take a piece of the typewriter. You can get a piece of.
I want to see you
legally,
who own a little stock
legally,
in GM
legally.
Go into one of the corporate offices and take
a
typewriter.
Guy,
let me see. You'll end up in jail if you do that.
Company, If a guy owns 100,000 shares of the company and the company goes bankrupt,
you don't have a right to go take one of their buildings. There's an administrator who distributes.
At some point, it's going to go to some type of settlement, and they're going to.
And a Hanami, you have a certain lien, I agree. There's something called a corporate bond, which is a debt security, right? There's a corporate stock, which is equity, it's equity security. What basically it does is it represents that you have an interest in a corporation. That's all it shows. And as you described, it's a lien. That's exactly what a stock is. The truth is that the concept of a stock is very hard to figure out where you stand in halacha with the stock. Why? Because a stock is something that never existed in the Torah. Why did a stock never exist in the Torah? Who is the owner of the company? Is it a certain person, an individual? No, it's an entity. You never find in the Torah that the Torah should discuss ownership by an entity. And therefore, it's really impossible to figure out the halacha for mechiras chametz, or for that matter, that's why it's so complicated when it comes to questions of ribit with a corporation, because who really owns it? An entity, not a human being. To which the Achronim have a tremendous discussion. There's a lot of literature written on it. The Maram Shik in Yerideya Simen Kufnum Ches writes regarding Hilchas Ribis. He says that since the person does not have the ability to actually on his own collect his share of assets and actually go and take a building, he says that it's simply a loan and you have actually no ownership. The company doesn't mean anything to you as a individual. Okay. On the other hand, there's a sefer called Yad Shol, who disagrees with his Rebbe, the Maram Shik, and he says no. He says, since the Dina de Machusa went and created a concept that an entity can have ownership, so mitzad the Dina de Machusa, that automatically becomes like another person. And if your extended person owns that entity, so that becomes like another person. It's very gray, it's very vague, it's very, very hard to truthfully figure out what the halacha of a stock actually is. The Marshag in Yerideya has a tshuva on it, and the Marshag has a third opinion. The Marshag's opinion is, he says, you're 100% right, the entity on its own really is nothing. But then the Marshag says, you know what he says? Even though the entity on his own truthfully is nothing, he says, but if you have a controlling interest in the company, which means you own a large amount of the shares of the company, then the entity is considered like your person and you have certain obligations. The others, the Michas Yitzchak writes in the Tshuva that if a person owns 4% of a company, he has the ability to have an opinion in the company, and therefore he would have to sell it in the chametz. Reb Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Nigris Moshe, that it depends if a person has to have a controlling interest in the company. So as I'm showing to you, there are many, many different opinions. Now, if a person owns a large amount of stock, and a person has a controlling interest in a company, then he definitely should sell it in mechiras chametz. If he doesn't, if he wants to do it as a chumrah, it's no problem, he can do it, but if he doesn't do it as a chumrah, it's not necessary to do. So that is the story regarding stocks itself, right? Go ahead.
What about just the basics? Just how does the transaction take place of Mechirat Hametz? How do we sell
right.
it to the
company? So let's not talk about how...
There's
so many issues to discuss. Let's discuss that issue, right? I mean, you should know we can talk about Mechirat Hametz endlessly because there are so many questions and it's such an intricate sale. Let's talk about what you mentioned, the Mechirat Hametz itself. Let me tell you what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Tov Mem Ches, Simon Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba Paskins, you can do Mechiras Chometz, that's what he says, but he has one condition attached to it. Maybe this is the reason why many of you are not doing Mechiras Chometz. He says you have to give it to the Goy, Shemichutz Lebeisai, which is out of your house. That's what the Mechaba says. The Mechaba says you can sell Chometz, but you can't leave the Chometz in your house for Pesach. That's what the Mechaba writes in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what do those words mean that you give it to the goy that's out of your house? There's two ways of reading those words. Either you give it to the goy that's out of your house, but he leaves it in your house. Right? Or, so the Taz writes that means to exclude an Eved Kanani or a servant. Then the Taz writes that's not really accurate. He says it's no problem. You could sell it to your own slave. He says as long as it's not a real Eved Kanani, which nobody has. But if it's a regular person that works for you. He has his own ownership. You can give it to him, and it's no problem whatsoever. But it's, the Taz originally wants to say that it's sort of a tzegzera, that if you're going to keep it in your house, it doesn't look right. Then the Taz withdraws, and the Taz says, no, that's not the pshat. And the Taz rules, like most achronim rule, that you have to sell it to a goy that lives outside of your house, and it's also the lashon of the Trumas Hadeshen. And he says that the reason is for a totally different reason. The reason is because it just doesn't look right. You had your chametz in your house before Pesach. Now you have your chametz in your house on Pesach, and you sold it to the goy. What changed? Right? It just doesn't look appropriate. That's pretty much what the Taz says. To which that the Taz says that's also very difficult to understand that that's correct. And the reason why the Taz says it's very difficult to understand that concept, he says the reality is that the Gemara says that if a goy went in the middle of Pesach and put the chametz in your house, or if a goy went before Pesach and he gave you a pikadon, you should hold on to his chametz. You're allowed to leave his chametz in your house over Pesach. So you see that there's nothing wrong with truthfully with leaving chametz in your house over Pesach. I mean, there is what's that?
As long as you don't have to
as long as you don't own it. Okay, but so here you sold it, so you don't own it. Exactly. That's what he argues. So the Gemara says at the end you have to build a wall, you got to be careful of kli because you might end up eating it on Pesach. So that's why whoever does two mechiras chametz will always go and put a piece of tape on the cabinet, put a little rubber band or a little string on the cabinet. You're going to make a siman to show that it's not yours. But the bottom line is that if you go and you actually do a mechira and it doesn't belong to you, there's nothing wrong with getting rid of it from your, with keeping it in your property. So which puts us back to square one. Why did the Mechaba rule that you need to give it to a guy to remove it from your house? Comes the Chak Yaakov, and the Chak Yaakov says a fascinating chiddush, and this is going to lead us exactly into your discussion. The Chak Yaakov says, because if you don't give it to a guy that's living outside of your house, how is the guy going to make a kinyan? Okay, which kinyan works on metaltalin for a guy?
Mashiach.
So therefore, the guy needs to pick up your chametz, take it out of your house, make a kinyan mashichan. That's the only way that it actually belongs to him. So that would be a very another explanation why many of you are very hesitant to do mechiras chametz. Because firstly, as we discussed, mechiras chametz is a tremendous chiddush. It's something that didn't exist historically. That's number one. Secondly, we discussed, besides mechiras chametz not having existed historically, we're discussing now that the guy needs to remove it from your property. And how does he remove it from your property? With the kinyan of meshicha. Right? Also, that is the only way to do it. So the Mogen Avraham discusses, and what happens when you have too much chametz? And you're selling to a guy the chametz of the whole city. And it's impossible to remove it from your property. Okay, so the Mogen Avraham says as follows. If the concern is because you have it in your house, and it's not appropriate that you should have it in your house because it doesn't look like you sold it, or it's not appropriate you should keep the chametz in your house, and the Mogen Avraham says, I have a suggestion to make to you. My suggestion is, take the chametz, put it into a closet, put a piece of tape on the closet, and when you do the mechiras chametz, sell to the goy the property beneath the chametz.
Agav.
What? Agav. Right? Agav or chotzer. We'll talk soon. Agav or chotzer. We'll see soon if either one works for a guy. So, but the Mogen Avraham is first talking from a practical view that the issue is, not because the issue is of the sales, a valid sale. Uh-huh. It's not your house. You understand? Uh-huh. The Mogen Avraham first is saying that the Taz is concerned, right?
Can't he do Mashiach if he's not there, or that's only with the Behemah?
No, that's not with the Behemah. You have to actually lift the Chametz and move it.
But he's not here. If the animal's not, is that only with an animal, or is that?
Oh, not with metaltalin. You have to actually make mashiach metaltalin mashiachah hakbo. You have to actually lift it and move it. So that is the problem, which is a very, very beautiful point, which is suddenly raised. So now let's take the Chak Yaakov's point, and the Chak Yaakov says that you need to do Mashiach. So the Mogen Avraham says what he actually said. Now let's take a couple of moments and let's view the actual Mechiras Chametz, and you're going to find this, it's absolutely fascinating.
So the Mogen Avraham is only talking about a practical point, not the Kinyan. He's not bothered with the Kinyan.
For a start, the Mogen Avraham is talking about the practical discussion. Now let's talk about the actual Kinyan, which one actually works. And we're going to see as we go through it, you see, this is kind of hard, this is a very Yiddish topic. Everyone that we're going to mention, somebody else has a problem with it. It's just not going to flow. You're going to see, every time we come up with one sale that works, I'll show you a problem why the sale doesn't work. And then you'll tell me if you can actually do Mechiras Chametz or not. Okay? Let's start. The first Rashi in Bechayra says that what can you do? The Kinyan of Kesef, right? Rashi in Bechayrus, Rashi in Kedushin, Tosis brings it in Kedushin Dav Gimel, says that you can do with the goy the kinyan of Kesef for metaltalin.
Not the right,
huh? What's that?
Kinyan
Kesef doesn't work with the Raisa. That's number one. And Taisus writes on the spot in Kedushin and in Bechayris that when it comes to a goy, Kinyan Kesef doesn't work from a Tatla. So number one, you're ready. If you want to sell the chametz to the goy with Kinyan Kesef, you're arguing with Taisus. And according to Tosfot, the Kinyan does not work. So that seems to be a bit problematic. Now, the truth is that there are others that say that here it's a bit better because you can say that if you go with the Dinah de Malchuta, which tells us that if you have a situation with this complete consideration, so then the sale is considered a sale to a goy even with Kenyan Kesef, which is according to the law of the land, you can go and sell Metaltalin with Kesef. So that's how some want to answer the question. But remember, according to Tosfot, that doesn't work, because Tosfot says you have to actually go and do Meshicha. The Hagos HaShri in Bava Metzia, in Perik Dalet, writes that in a situation, since it's a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfot, if you can't do the Eitz of Tosfot, which is Meshicha, because it's too much, you can be Simech on Kesef. But which is exactly our case. But remember, it's still a Shas HaTchag. You're getting involved in a machloikis in the Rishonim. Okay, let's think about a different option. The other option would be Chalipim, you mentioned before, right? Kinyan Suda. You take a handkerchief and you raise the handkerchief in between the Yid and between the Goy. Now, first thing, the Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion when you want to do a Kinyan Suda with a Goy, it's not so simple because usually you have a concept that Kinyan Suda could be the Kalev of the Edim. That's who it can actually belong to. Why? Mitam Schir. But remember, when it comes to a Goy, there's no Zochen to a Goy, right? Zochen only is a concept that works for a Yid. So the handkerchief actually has to belong to the Goy. Remember that. The handkerchief in this case will have to belong to the Goy. And that might be a suggestion. The Dogel Mevava in Simen Tov Mem Dalet, who is the Noid Yehuda, writes that he suggests they should sell the Chometz with Kinyan Siddur, which the Kinyan Siddur is to do Chalipim. The problem with that is that if you learn Chayshin Mishvot Simen Kuf Chav Gimel, right, in Sifkot and Lamed, you read the Shach disagrees with the Noid of Yehuda, and the Shach says that the Kinyan of Chalipin does not work to a Goy. So if you're going to use the Noid of Yehuda's Eitzah, you're going against the Shach. If you're going to use Rashi's Eitzah of Kesev, you're going against Toysfus. Okay, so you're going to keep on going. And you're going to. So what's
what about, for example, in jewelry,
right?
Right, if you say Mazel, and you go to a
okay,
court.
Good. You're talking about Setumta. We'll get to that. Fine. I'm going to go. Setumta, right? Setumta is one of the later kinyanim that we're going to deal with. The problem you're going to have with Setumta is that Setumta is a good idea, but it's a kinyan derabanan on a deraisa. So a kinyan derabanan to do mechiras chametz, which is a deraisa, also is a bit complex. We'll get to that. 1 second. So let's go. Let's go through one by one. Let's deal with every single one of the issues. So now the next suggestion would be to do a kinyan of agav, right? Remember, the next suggestion would be to do kinyan agav. How does kinyan agav work? That you sell the land below the chametz, and agav, the land, a kinyan is also done on the chametz. Now, 1 second.
Below, does it have to be the below chametz?
There's a question if it has to be actually below. That's a question of the Gemara and Kedushin. We paskinat, we say it has to be. Fine, but let's say we do it below. The problem is in order to sell property, now let's analyze this. What kinyan are you doing? Kesef. So it's even worse. To sell property, you need to do kinyan shtar. Right? A contract. And it's worse than before, because before we said that you can say the Dina de Machusa tells us that the law of the land is you can sell Metaltalin with Kesef. So even if you go according to Tosfos, you can say that it's a good kinyan because of Dina de Machusa. You can argue that. But now it's suddenly worse. Why is it suddenly worse? Because the Dina de Machusa is that when you want to transfer property, you need to have a shtar, you need to have a contract. And since you need to have a contract.
Yeah, but you can't use Dina de Malchuta against Din Torah. Din Torah, you don't need
what's
contract.
That?
Din Torah is enough to have Kesef, Shtar, or Hazakah to be connected.
Right, but you're not doing Shtar, you're only doing Kesef. The problem.
So Kesef is good enough.
No, Kesef
is good enough.
Kesef to buy Karka?
Okay.
Kesef to buy Karka and Echanam, and then you can do a Kinyan Agav and Echanam. But the problem is that they discuss that since the Din Malchisa says that it's not enough.
Din Malchuta is against. Can go against Din Torah.
It's a chisaron, but you're right. I hear what you're saying. You're saying at the end of the day it doesn't nullify the sale. The answer is we should really learn about it because Rabbi Kivega has a whole discussion in Mishapora when you have a concept of Kesef, right? So by Kesef usually it's Mishapora. Once you give right. Mat and Mois. Rabbi Kivega discusses from the Rashba how about by Mechiras Karka where you need to have Kesef and Shtar according to the Din of Malchusa if you say Mishapora by just Kesef. So It's a big disagreement in the Rishonim, this question. Okay, so you see that when you have a sale, that the way of doing that sale becomes kesef and shtar, it's not simple to do it only with kesef. So that, and the truth is, not only that, it's illegal to sell property without a contract, and the statutes of fraud. So since it's illegal, it's questionable, because you're doing a kinyan which is against the din of the machusa. So kinyan agaf suddenly also has its questions. Befrat, in the old days, you look in Kuf Tzadik Dalet and Shulchan Aruch, when it came to the Mechiras Chomos and they wanted to do Shtar and Agav, they wanted to do this plan, because if you did both, Shtar and Agav, then you would really have a final solution. They were concerned. They didn't want to give the Goy a Shtar that the house of the Yid belonged to the Goy, because they realized they have to pay something, they weren't getting their homes back. So that didn't work either. So you understand? So that was also a problem. So then the next question was, let's do Kinyan Chotzer, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan and Kuf Tzadik Dalet, Sifkot and Yud Beis, has a lengthy discussion that there are many that say you can do Kinyan Chotzer, but on the other hand, he says many say you can't, because it depends. If you say Chotzer works mitam yad, so then you're right. But if Chotzer works mitam shlichus, and ain shlichus la'akim, right? The goy can't have shlichus. So again, you're back to square one. If shlichus is...
How do you do the Kinyan Chotzer? What's the difference?
Kinyan Chotzer, you put
what
it...
What do you accomplish by Chotzer?
Oh, you're right. In reality, you're going to run into the same problem because you don't have a contract, so you can't transfer your Chotzer product. No, you can put it into the Goy's Chotzer. That, you can put in, that's, but then if you can move it, so you can do Mashiach. You're right. You're back to square one. No, so Simon gave a different suggestion. What was that suggestion called? Setumta, right? Setumta is called, in Chazal, when you acknowledge that you transferred ownership, midrabbanim, that's a Kinyan. Now, it depends on the industry. If you're in the diamond industry, that's mazel habracha. In certain industries, it's a handshake, right? And that becomes a kinyan called setumta. The problem the poskim say is that setumta is only a... The Stechema discusses this. Setumta is only a kinyan derabonon. And to sell the chomas, you need to have a kinyan deraisa. So who says that works? The bottom line is, in mechiras chomas, you know what we do?
Kinyan sudar.
Every one of the kinyanim that I mentioned, that's what we do with the goy.
Kinyan agav is kinyan.
That's what we do. It takes approximately an hour to do mechiras chametz.
Kinyan agav is kinyan d'oraita?
Yeah, kinyan, I think so. Kinyan agav, no, would not be. No. I would have to double check. You want to say that's the rabbanon? No. No, I hear what you're saying. I'm telling you, the Mishabur brings down, and I've done it many times myself. The reality is, because there's always a question on every one of the kinyonim, what we do is every single one of the kinyonim, and we know if you do every one of the kinyonim, so according to somebody, you definitely did the right thing, and then that's the Mechiras Chomet. Okay, listen, I can hear why some
so
people don't like to do Mechiras Chomet.
You do actually,
everything.
So what they do exactly? Like
you start off with you start off with Kesef.
You make the guy pay money.
Pay money. Right. You first give him money, then he pays back the money, then you do Shtar, right? We actually do Shtar, we write up a contract. It's a contract written up in Hebrew. We do Chalipin.
What's the purpose of the Kesef?
According to Rashi, Rashi says that you can do a kinyan amatalton with kesef. Rashi b'chayrus taf gimel. Then afterwards we do setumta. Everybody shakes hands with the goy. Then all the rabbanim shake hands with the goy. I mean, it's like you got to see. It's like a marketplace. It's like 50 rabbanim, and he goes around and he shakes hands with everybody on behalf of their.
And what's the down payment that they do?
The down payment, you give money.
So how do they do that?
So you market to him first. He makes a kinyan on your money, and he gives you back the money. That's how it's done. Huh? Oh, it's not a. You should know that
the one that we do in the shul, Shadis Yot, forget
about it. I want you to know something. In the beginning, I used to tell my family would wait for me to burn the chametz. And then they realize that if they're going to wait for me to burn the chametz, by the time I get back, it's going to be too late. So they don't wait for me anymore. Because it can take an hour and a half. If you have quite a few rabbanim there. And the truth is, I usually do two mechiras chametz. One on Yud Dalet, one on Yud Gimel. For the people that are traveling, we'll get to that in a second. I usually do it twice. But that's the way that it's done. And then you have no issues in halacha whatsoever. Now, just a fascinating Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, how about if a person did mechiras chametz? And accidentally, he forgot to do all of these kinyonim, or he didn't know all of these kinyonim. As you see, it's quite complicated, and you shouldn't try this at home yourself. You should, with your own goy, you should actually have a rav do the mechiras chametz for you.
Unless you do meshicha.
What's that?
Unless you give it to him.
Unless you actually give it to him, and he takes it to his property. But yeah, if you do the real meshicha, then I agree with you. Meshicha or hakbo, then I agree with
you. Then is the goy able to buy?
buy chametz in another state, you're working in New York only. Let's say you have property in Florida, you have to worry.
Yes, that's no problem. But I'll discuss in a few moments what happens when it's in different time zones. Then it gets even more complicated. So wait. That I'm going to get to in a few moments. Different states is not really an issue, but different time zones, that is already a more complicated issue. So now so that's the way it's done. But the Mishnah Berurah says a very interesting psak. He says, what happens if you forgot to do some of the kinyonim? Or even if you only did one of the kinyonim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, then after Pesach, it's not chametz she'olah over all of HaPesach. Why? He says, let's think this through. He says, chametz she'olah over HaPesach is nothing more than a knas. The Rabbanon, it's a knas. But the Raya says, no such concept.
But it's a hamul knas.
It's a hamul knas, correct. Correct. But he says, but if the Rabbanon saw that you went and you did Mechiras Chometz, but it's Mechiras Chometz according to some Rishonim, not according to the other Rishonim. For that, they didn't make a Knas.
Right.
You understand? You're right. It's very strong. It's so strong
it's
to the extent.
I mean, it's like Shabbos.
Right.
It's good like a Tehillah according to.
To one, you can't say that it's a Knas. Correct. 100%. 100% correct. Now, let's talk about another very interesting question in the sale of Chometz. When you come to the Rav, if you do, to sell your Chometz, do you actually go and you actually mention which chametz you have? Do you actually mention where your chametz is? Or you just say, sell all my chametz? How do you do the mechiras chametz? What's the appropriate way of doing it?
Huh? I usually say where it is.
You just say where it is, right?
Closet.
Huh?
I remember saying that, I just remember putting the address down.
You put your address down, you said, sell all my chametz, right? Yeah. Whatever chametz is in my property, please sell it, right?
Right.
Okay, let me tell you the problem. In Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Teh, Siv Bey, is the Mechaba Paskins, that if you approach another person and you say to him, all the contents that are in my home are sold to you for $20,000. So the Mechaba says the sale is not a sale.
Wow.
Why is the sale not a sale? Because it's a Dover She'enei Mesuyim, which means it's something which is not specified, which the Mechaba Paskins is a Asmachta. It's not a bona fide sale. Right? Asmachta Leikanya. It's not a bona fide sale. So the
explanation of whiskey for the short 5 minutes.
Asmachta Leikanya, yeah? So if you say Asmachta Leikanya, I'm asking you, if you go to the Rav and you say to the Rav, all the chametz in my home is sold. Is it sold or not? He doesn't understand what. Is it $10, $1 million? Doesn't understand what he's actually buying. Is that a sale? Okay, that's number one. There's a fascinating tshuva which is written in the Beis Yitzchak, there's a tshuva written in the Maram Shik, and there's a tshuva written in the Chassam Sofer. All three deal with the same situation. What happened? A person went to the Rav, did Mechiras Chometz, and after he did Mechiras Chometz, he noticed that he forgot, he left out a couple of items. Right? He writes the one case, the Chassam Sofer writes, where he found Se'or, and that specific chametz was not included in the chametz. It's the Maram Shik writes he found malts, right? Malt, that's what he found after Pesach. Whatever it was, he found chametz after Pesach, not specified in the contract.
But he specified everything.
He specified and he left some things out.
He left some things out.
So it wasn't sold.
So it wasn't sold, right?
Well, he did bitul, didn't
he? Huh? Fine. Okay, did bitul. Agreed, but I don't know if he did bitl on what he sold. But we'll get to that in a moment. He did bitl on what he sold. What was that? What's that?
If you made a bitl, so that's it.
Yes,
that's
it.
So that's it. Now it's not.
Yeah, but I don't know if you do. You made bitl, so enoch anamis. But with bitl already, it's complicated. If there's a knas or not, it's not so simple. That already is a complicated question. So, and bepashas, you should be machma on such a question. So the Beis Yitzchak first has a lengthy tshuva where the Beis Yitzchak says that the reason why the Mechaba says that the sale is not a really at the end of the Mechiras Chometz, the Rav says, he's quite low. The Rav always writes at the end of the Shtar, not only what I mentioned till here, but also all my Chometz that are in my premises. And I always write into the Shtar Mechira, this Chometz and all the Chometz that are is in my possession. So let's deal specifically with that question. Is it the problem of the Mechaber that he says, a Dovish Eni Mesuyim is not a sale because Asmach Lekanya? So the Beis Yitzchak has a lengthy tshuva, and the Beis Yitzchak says that, first of all, he says, who says by a goy, Asmach Lekanya? Maybe Asmach Lekanya by a yid, but if you gamble with a goy and a goy owes you money because of a smachta, it is considered a smachta kanya. That's the way, or the opposite. You owe money to the goy mitzad a smachta. You have to pay the money to the goy. That's what the Beis Yitzchak says. So for mechiras chametz, he says it's no problem. Even though the Mechaba says by a regular sale it's no good, but by a sale with a goy there is a concept of a smachta. The Maram Shik in his tshuva, and the Chasam Sofer writes a very interesting point. He says, when you say that all of the items, contents of this box are sold, why is it not a sale? Because you pay $10,000, you don't know if there are diamonds in the box or if there are feathers in the box. You don't know if the item is worth $1 million or $10. You really have no concept. You have no clue. He says, but if you went, the Chasam Sofer says, and you specified what the contents is, but you didn't specify the amount, then the Chasam Sofer says the sale is considered a good sale. Since over here you specified that what am I selling? All the chametz in my house. The Chasam Sofer says, even though you didn't mention the amount of chametz that's in your house, the sale is considered a good sale. That's firstly the ruling of the Chasam Sofer. The Maram Shik says another reason why the sale is a good sale. He says that the Mechaba only says that when you sell a dove she'enu mesuyim, when you sell something that's not specified. But how about if you sell a dove she'enu mesuyim with a dove mesuyim, then the Mechaba says there's no chasorin of asmach leikanya, because the sale actually goes through and the sale is a sale. So you have three possible reasons why the sale will be a sale anyways. However, the Maram Shik writes that due to this issue of this mechaber, it's better not to specify the chametz you're selling, but rather to write all the chametz in my possession is what I am selling. So that is the simpler way to do the mechiras chametz in order not to get into any questions whatsoever.
How
do you determine a price? The truth is, the guy only puts down a down payment before Pesach. A down payment, and if afterwards you need, you get somebody to do a shuma and figure out the actual value. That's what would actually be done.
But how, when you're making the sale originally, you said it has to be a legitimate sale.
Legitimate sale, but you can have a legitimate sale with a down payment.
But that legitimate sale has to be a down payment on a certain amount.
Right, there's nobody's buying. How's the legitimate sale? I don't know.
At the end of the day,
it's a formality.
I hear your point.
If you buy half a store,
right?
I want to sell all my stock for a dollar.
Right.
I sell all my stock.
No. But if you go and you change. We discussed in the beginning of the shiur that the sale should be a bona fide sale. It should not be a harama. It shouldn't be any trickery involved. It should be a very honest sale. There is an issue that when you go and you tamper with the numbers and you change the numbers, that the sale is not a bona fide sale. So we're always very concerned to play with the numbers. But you're right. The reality is that the Rav, when he comes down to it, does. I'll tell you what the Rav does do. The Rav does mention a few of the sales that he has on behalf of stores and shops that are very large numbers of chametz. So the person realizes we're not talking with small numbers. The goy realizes we're talking about big numbers. That we do tell to the goy. But you're right. The reality is that an exact accounting of the chametz, it's impossible. How are you going to figure out every box of cookies in everybody's house? And good, I hear your reservation. Why? I know you said before you don't like to do that. Your minhag is not to do mechiras chometz. It could be all of these reasons are reasons, but the reality is that's not what's done. I just want to touch on two more very fascinating points because it's, I know 7 o'clock is a tefillah, but just two very interesting points. What would happen? There is a minhag in many places. In many, many places, that this is my personal minhag. We do mechiras chometz. But we don't do mechiras chametz on chametz gomer. On no real chametz, just on taruvas chametz, right? Or just on, you know, things that sort of are like chametz, but not on real on real chametz. I mean, the kalim, that's a very famous discussion. The kalim, some people sell. The Chasam Sofer said not to sell the kalim, because he says if you sell the kalim, you have to do tefillat kalim after Pesach. That's an interesting Chasam Sofer. Fine. But what's a very interesting question is, how about if you were to go and you would sell, there's a minhag in many places that you don't do mechiras chametz on real chametz. Now, where does this come from? Where does this issue come from? So I'll tell you a very interesting thing. There's a Tvuah Shor in Psachman, this Gemara Chaf Aleph. The Tvuah Shor says, how does Haroma help? Haroma should not help by a Do'iraisa. That's the question that the Tvuah Shor asks. So the Tvuah Shor answers, no, selling chametz is only a Durabonon, because you did Bittul. And once you did Bittul, it's only a Durabonon. That's what he answers. So everybody asks on the Tvuah Shor, it's not true. Because if you did Bittul, you have nothing left to sell, right? The Mishnah Berurah says you should be careful not to say Kol Chamira until you actually burnt the chametz. Because if you say first Kol Chamira and you mevatel the chametz, and then when you do Sreifas chametz, you're not burning your own chametz. You have nothing to burn. Okay? So everybody says back on the Tvuah Shor, it can't be. So therefore, since they have this question on the Tvuah Shor, but the Tvuah Shor's question still exists, so therefore they learn from the Tvuah Shor not to actually sell chametz gomer. I'll conclude with one fascinating question, which is a very negating question. What happens when you have people that are in a different time zone than their chametz? So if your chametz is in one time zone, and you are in another time zone. What's the halacha in this type of a situation? Do you go after the gavra or the chefzer, right? Does it go after the chometz or does it go after the person? The person is an Eretz Yisrael and his chometz is here. It's everybody right away is going to say, no, we go after the person, we don't go after the chometz, right? I'll just tell you that that's the consensus. However, there's an Oyne Giontif that has a tshuva, and he says, no, the Oyne Giontif says, we go after the chometz, not after the person.
That's the wording of the pasuk.
What's the wording of the pasuk?
Then it should go after the item.
How? Where does it say that?
It shouldn't be in your possession.
But you're not there to have it in your possession, so the pasuk is not clear. Okay, one second, listen. But he has a beautiful raya. There's a Mishnah in Psachim Lamed Beis. The Mishnah says if somebody eats chometz of truma on Pesach, so he's chayiv to pay the keren and a chomish, right? So the Gemara asks the question, how do you assess the value of that chometz? The chometz on Pesach is also bahano. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says that chometz on Pesach is muta bahano. So the Negyantiv says, I don't understand. The Gemara should have said a simple response. The simple response the Gemara should have said is that you're in a different time zone, and therefore for him it's Pesach, for you it's not Pesach. So that chometz has a value. So the Negyantiv wants to say that from there is a raya that the chometz that's in a place where it's Pesach automatically becomes also bahano, even if you're in a different area. That's what the Oyne Giontif says. Rabbi Tzal Zolti writes that, come on, he says, it's such a milsad l'shchicha that the Gemara didn't think of it. It didn't exist in those times. It should be in a different time zone. What? Right. That's what he writes at the end. Rabbi Moshe Weinstein writes in a tshuva that this is a complicated question, and it's interesting because you think at first it's funny, but Rabbi Moshe has a pshara, and he says that you're not over the Issa of Bal Yiro when you're in a different time zone, but you shouldn't have hano of that chometz. That's what Ramosha writes, and that's how Ramosha's Miyash of the Gemara. It's a very interesting discussion. The bottom line is, when a person's in a different time zone, or his chometz in a different time zone, he makes an arrangement with the Rav to sell it a little earlier, or to buy it back a bit earlier, and that's why some people do a sale a day earlier. And for example, when I buy back the chometz, if I have a person that for him it's still Pesach, so I buy back his chometz for myself, and I hold on to his chometz for another half a day, till he gets into the proper time zone, or what I do is, just to make it simple, I buy everybody's chometz back for myself, and then I let them eat my chametz for the first day, and by a day later, when everybody's in the right time zone, then there's no question. No, the Eibshel Taka help, and everybody should have a kosher and a frelich on Pesach.